Episode 213.
Well, if I can say this, the transmission business has always been the red-haired stepchild of the automotive industry. But it's interesting because it does take a person who would be interested in something like that because it's totally different than the rest of the vehicle.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here. Welcome, and thanks for listening to the aftermarket's premier podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Hey, did you know that you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Stitcher Radio, and also on my own app for iOS and Android? Hey, welcome to episode 213 with Wayne Colonna from ATSG. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. I want to thank my new Facebook friends, Robert Pleasanton, Justin Miller, Ross McPherson, and Eric Obrachta. And many of you know Eric, and he and I are working on an interview. Also, thanks to my new LinkedIn connections, Ken Lord, Charles Hawkins, and Christopher Plummer. Thanks for joining the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast Society. Do you know why you listen to the podcast? Well, I would like to think that it's because you get extraordinary content that embodies wisdom and expertise from successful service professionals and industry thought leaders. Understanding your colleagues' achievements will help you grow your business. You get incredible stories and trends in a format that puts the emotions to the words. Now just think, if you get just one spark of an idea per week from the podcast, imagine how you can generate substantial change and grow your business and your influence. Now it's easier than ever to listen. Just go to your app store on iOS or Android and search for Remarkable Results Radio. Download it and get all the podcasts at your fingertips. Now get ready to meet Wayne Colonna. Wayne is president of ATSG. Now, you may know ATSG as Automatic Transmission Service Group. Now, Wayne and I met at the big event in March 2017 in Westchester County, New York. He was there to give a presentation on CVT transmissions. In this enlightening and fun interview, Wayne shares great stories on his experience as a very young man working in his dad's collision shop and how his first car, a Ford with a C4 transmission, altered his life to become a transmission specialist. He also tells of another story that shaped his faith. He is a worldwide trainer in high demand and was such a pleasure to talk to. Catch the special show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E213. Now, here we go with Wayne Colonna from ATSG. Hey, I'm really privileged to have Wayne Colonna from ATSG here. We're at the big event and we're in the recording studio. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, man. I am just great. Automatic Transmission Service Group. I just heard you out there, what was it, an hour and a half or more?
Yes, an hour and a half.
And you're out there telling automotive repair people all about transmissions.
Well, actually, more specifically, CVT transmissions.
Yeah, I did notice that. And you're right, CVT, that stands for
Continuously Variable Transmissions.
I remember, it may have been a car that I owned. Was it a Nissan that came out with that in the early days, maybe 10 years ago or more?
Well, Nissan, yeah, has definitely come out with them. I mean, my first experience with CVTs was snowmobiles. as far as vehicle goes in the States, the first CVT we've ever encountered was in a Subaru Justy with a powdered clutch converter. It's a very odd transmission. That didn't last too long. But yes, then Nissan came out with CVTs and by Jacko transmissions, and they were in Mitsubishis, and now they're in Dodge and Jeep vehicles.
So you're a transmissions expert.
Well, I try to be.
Yeah, I know. You are. Because I was hanging out with some guys, and you came by, and they were all just so excited and thanking you for coming and sharing. So transmissions, is it like one of those last frontiers that most repair shops just don't even want to get involved with?
Well, if I can say this, the transmission business has always been the red-haired stepchild of the automotive industry. But it's interesting because it does take a person who would be interested in something like that because it's totally different than the rest of the vehicle.
Why don't they want to touch them?
You know, because I love it so much, I really don't know if I can answer that.
I find that so interesting that, you
you know, there's two fabulous industries out there, the transmission industry and the repair industry. I've interviewed a transmission owner, I think in the last 3 or 4 months, and he says he's 50-50 now. He's doing repair and brakes and stuff. Was your reason to want to put the repair industry more comfortable with it, or just to respect how they work together?
Okay, well, what's happening in our industry right now is the transmission shops that would just do automatic transmissions has diminished considerably, where they need to do more work than just transmissions. And so they're starting to get into general repair work. And at the same time, general repair shops seem to be doing more transmission work, diagnosing, not particularly rebuilding. They may try to do a minor repair, or they'll just change the transmission. But even after changing the transmission, if it doesn't work right, they need still some guidance as to how to properly diagnose, because they don't know transmissions. They only know them to a certain point. So the education, what we do is we diagnose transmission problems, and that's what our company does. Automatic transmission service group, we have 10 techs on the line, and people can call in. Either they can pay a yearly membership, or they can pay a per-call situation, and they can call in and we can help diagnose their problems.
So if I was a repair shop owner and I wanted to, I could use your company to get my expertise into the transmission side.
Absolutely, especially if you're dealing with one that's not functioning correctly. But we also have plenty of material on rebuilding them, diagnosing them, and then, of course, we do seminars as well.
Seminar. What an interesting company. 20 employees?
Yes.
You have tech line. You have trainers. Wayne told me a little bit about his company before we turned on the microphones. You're going to be where this year internationally?
Yeah, that has been an interesting development. And it's become so worldwide that being invited to go into Bristol, England to speak, and then I'll be in the Netherlands, and then I'm being brought into Australia, and then Russia and Poland this year.
How about them airline miles?
You know, I've got 2 million already on American, and they're real miles too. They're not bought miles. They're real miles.
Wow, boy! I guess you just need to find the time to go on vacation.
Well, you know, somewhere. That's another problem, because by the time I can go on vacation, the last thing I want to do is get in a plane. But my wife has other ideas.
How about a cruise ship?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's also good, since I live in Miami.
That's right.
Yes, I really like the cruise ship.
No airplanes needed. Yes. You just drive to the dock and get on.
That's
right.
It.
Oh,
yeah.
How cool is that? Do you cruise much?
I go on cruises.
All right.
Yes,
so,
do.
Okay.
Yes.
So how'd you get into the transmission business?
Well, that's an interesting thing. My father owned a body shop, and I used to work with him. By the time I was 12 years old, I could do a quarter panel. I can cut a quarter panel out, piece one in, and one thing I couldn't do in the body shop was being a painter. I was not a good painter, but I could do body work, and my father could do both. But it was not a business I was interested in. It had too many fumes. I really didn't like it. But I was also not college material. I wasn't really the best high school kind of student. I played around more. Anyway, when I turned 17, he bought for me, for my first car, a 1964 Ford Galaxy, a car with a C4 transmission in it.
Isn't it amazing? Here's a transmission guy. Do you remember what engine? No, I remember what.
Okay. It was a 289.
But I do remember it was a C4 transmission.
Transmission. Well, the reason being is that I was a senior in high school. And the car lasted about 3 months, and the transmission went out.
Oh, there's the story.
Yeah, right there.
I get it.
Okay,
yeah.
So now we brought it to Amco Transmissions in a town close to us. They wanted, I think if I remember correctly, it was something like $200 or something to fix it. And this is 1975, so that was like a lot of money for a kid in high school. And my father wasn't going to lay out that money.
It was like $1,000 today or more.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It was like a lot of money. So we weren't going to do it. So they put all the transmission pieces in a box and put it in a trunk, and we towed it to our house.
Oh, the story gets better.
Right. So
yeah.
I laid out all the pieces. I laid all this newspaper out. I laid out all the pieces, and then I got, I think it was Chilton manuals and things like that, and I'm reading and looking, and the pictures were horrible, and I just kept playing, and it took me a few months to kind of get an idea of how things went back together. And then at that time, there was a company called Fisher Transmissions and Fatsco Transmission Parts. And I went there with a box full of things, and I put it out there. And they said, oh, you need this, you need this, you need this. And then they gave me a lot of information. They really helped me out, bought everything. It was like something like $30-some it was. And so I rebuilt the transmission the best I could figure with what I could read. And as my father and I were laying on our backs and we're pinning the transmission to the engine, my father looked at me and said, you know, son, don't feel bad if this doesn't work.
Thanks, Dad, for the encouragement.
Yeah. Exactly right.
He was setting you up. I understand. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And yes, indeed, the transmission did work.
Oh, and my.
Yes, and my father said, this is what you should do.
It's your calling, huh?
Yeah, and then he sent me to the Lincoln Institute of Technology for training. And then when I went to the same transmission shop after, looking for a job. And the gentleman there, he said, you know what? I'm really impressed with your enthusiasm, but honestly, your diploma from Lincoln Tech is like toilet paper to me. He said, I need experience. However, we're going to have an AMCO dealer meeting, and I'll mention you to everyone. And 2 weeks later, I was hired by AMCO Transmissions in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Did you ever go back to that shop and explain to the guy who you are and what you know now?
No, I never did.
Wouldn't that be kind of cool, though?
I don't know. I guess so, but...
That's all right.
Yep. So Roger Savino at that time hired me. I became an R&R guy, removed and replaced. And then I moved on to another AMCO transmission shop in Wayne, New Jersey, worked there with Don Safiati. And that's where I got my break on learning how to rebuild transmissions. That's where how it all started.
You know that 70% of professional technicians install Moog? Do you know who is best in class in engineering R&D? Do you know who holds 47 patents and has 28 dedicated engineers on staff? Yeah, Moog. You should know that 85% of Moog socket-style components are manufactured in North America, and that makes Moog best in class for manufacturing. And since 1966, every NASCAR championship has been won on Moog parts. But you knew that. I know why you install Moog. They solve your problems. Over the years, Moog has provided problem-solving innovations like a patented pressed-in cover plate, powdered metal gusher bearing technology, compression-loaded ball joints with a pre-installed integral dust boot, and vertical control arm bushings. You know why you install Moog. Enhanced durability, improved performance, and ease of installation. For more information, go to moogparts.com. Now you know. Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. Originally from New Jersey, now you're in Florida. When did you get your associate's degree?
Well, I had originally taken a couple of years and gotten an associate's degree in theology. And then as a result of that, I was sent to Staten Island, New York, almost like a missionary type thing. But I still worked in transmission shops there. So I started going to Staten Island Community College to get a degree in engineering, because I also had a desire and a passion to maybe design transmissions and work for a car manufacturer. And at the time, I was working at a Gibraltar transmission shop in Staten Island. And we belong to ATSG. ATSG was a company that started in 1985.
So here comes the story. Right. You're a customer, right. And ultimately now you're the president. Yeah, so yeah, I can't wait to hear about how this happened.
Okay, yeah. So that was an interesting development. But anyway, I would call and actually speak to ATSG to get some help on some problems that we were having. And I had just recently gone to a New York seminar that ATSG put on. And so I realized it took me 4 years to get a degree in mechanical engineering, associate's degree, and that it would take me another 4 to get a bachelor's. So I called and I spoke to Dale England. He was a partner to Bob Chernay in the company. And I asked him, I said, would somebody hire me? I'll be in my 40s by this time. And he said, you know what? Why don't you come work for ATSG? So I'd never even thought of that as a possibility. And by 1990, I moved down to Miami and started working with ATSG January 2nd, 1991.
What was your first job?
I was on the tech line.
Tech line, okay.
Yeah, that's what I did.
You'd have been perfect for it, right?
Well, yeah, coming right off the field and having my hand and in the transmissions, I was very fresh with all the things. But you're never educated, or should I say trained, for this job, because when you talk to guys on the phone, there's more problems than you had ever encountered. I never encountered half the problems that I was dealing with on the phone.
Why do you think?
You know, I don't know. It's not, I want to pat myself on the back like I did a great job rebuilding transmissions. I just never really encountered so many problems that guys were being faced with. And one of the problems that I had was their words were my eyes. And sometimes their descriptions wasn't pointing me in the right direction. It took me a while. You have to learn how to ask questions, to get the information that you need, to figure out what is happening, you know. And sometimes they're not right. Giving you the bigger picture.
Words into pictures is a communications gap.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Wow. And so you overcame that. You figured it out. And
yes.
And you probably got so good on the phone explaining what it is that you were looking to see.
Yeah.
That your diagnostic time probably got
reduced
better.
Tremendously. Yeah. But what also happened over time, you start seeing that patterns. Everyone was dealing with the same problems. And
your first year was kind of weird. And then you figured out it just smoothed
exactly,
right out.
Exactly,
I get it.
Right,
I get
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. So how did you end up becoming president of the company?
In 1992, they needed for me to go out and do seminars. So I started doing seminars, but I'm not a 9-to-5 guy. I'm whatever it takes. And so because I had such a joy with the job that I wanted to be in at 7 in the morning and I didn't leave until 7 at night. I mean, I was just loved being there and I just wanted to learn and get better and better and better. As a result, Bob Chernay, who owned the company, I started helping him with some of the videos that he would do. He would do training videos. And then I started helping him put together our yearly seminar information. And then by 2002, he calls me into his office and he said, listen, Wayne, I need to retire. And so I want to sell the company to the employees, but we're going to give you private stock as well as a couple of others, Dale England and Kim Devlin. And then I would like for you guys to run the company and pay a pension to me and you guys can have the company. So that was the process. And then Dale England was the CEO. I was the president. Kim Devlin was the CFO. And then Dale England retired and we bought him out. And now Kim Devlin and myself are the president and she's the chief financial officer. And we pretty much own the company. And a few of the employees still own stock in the company as well.
Great team.
Oh, we have a tremendous team. There's no way that I could do what I do without we have great guys, great women. I'm really blessed and pleased with the people that work with ATSG.
A great name in the industry. And when I even thought of the possibility, and you know, G. Trulia introduced us to interview Wayne Colonna. Wow. I'm thrilled you're here. So when you're looking out at this group of repair professionals and you're talking CVT transmissions to them, did you see any eyes light up? Did you think, you know, you got, you know, that knowledge transfer through today?
Well, you know what? There was a lot of engagement and questions. questions, and it seemed like they were interested because I think that maybe I gave them a perspective that they found to be useful. At least that was my attempt and my approach. And from a few comments I had after the seminar, I had favorable responses. Yeah.
Is it because the transmission and the motor and all that stuff and the computers, it all works together?
Well, it all works together. But what I tried to do is I pointed out, I said, look, you know, an engine, all engines have a crankshaft and a camshaft and pistons. But that doesn't mean that every engine you're going to approach the same way in diagnosing it. I said, CVTs, there's a fundamental way it works. But then there's so many variations. And if you don't know those variations and if you don't know the differences, then you don't know how to begin your approach in diagnosing it. So that's kind of the landscape that I gave them, to show them what is pretty much the same with all the CVTs. But then what were the differences? Why was Audi different than Honda? Why is Honda different than Nissan? And why is Subaru different than them all? That kind of a thing. And then what kind of problems what would happen and how they can identify those problems and how they can even diagnose some of those problems.
What are the big questions you get on your tech line? I mean, if you could take a survey of your tech support, what's the stuff that comes in the most?
You know, we're having so many programming problems because these computers, transmissions are computer controlled, and we have so many programming problems. And whether or not a reflash will fix it, or there is something wrong with the transmission, electrical problems that are unexplainable. So they're time consumers. Tech calls used to take 10 minutes to do, 5 minutes to do. They're taking 20 minutes to get done. And we're getting calls like 300 a day, and you're trying to get through these 300 calls a day. Every tech's got to try to bang out at least 30. But you get stuck on some of these calls that take up like 20, 40 minutes of your time. And it's just getting very hard, very difficult.
Example of the types of challenges. I mean, you said electrical. What else?
Like I say, when I say electrical, it's a combination of the actual electrical system, the transmission being controlled by solenoids, wiring issues, but then computer issues and software issues and things like that. And then, of course, scan tools, using scan tools and voltmeters and scopes. And every shop has different equipment. There's nothing standardized. So our tech lines are going from one guy who's really adept at using scopes to another guy that doesn't know how to use a voltmeter. So it's a stretch.
Wayne, does a traditional repair shop have to have a transmission specialist on staff in order to do more transmission work?
The way I can answer that question is it depends on how deep and how far they want to get into that kind of repair. If they're looking to rebuild the transmission, absolutely. When it comes to diagnosing transmissions, it would be helpful if they had someone there. However, there would be a little bit of a diagnostic curve on their part, learning about how transmissions operate so that they would know what to be looking for. But it can be done without a transmission tech, but it would be helpful if they had one.
If I had a really good diagnostic tech and I said, hey, let's take the next transmission problem and let's hire ATSG to help us and we'll work down that pathway, and could they become expert by working with your company?
Well, yeah. They're looking to diagnose, to find out if the transmission is bad or not, or if it's a repair that they can make. Yeah, over time, they would actually be learning, yes, because we could give them the step-by-step procedures.
Your training company, do you go out into different cities? Do you sell the program? How do you get out into those cities to do all this training? Who hires you?
Okay, you have companies that sell parts, and so they'll sponsor a seminar.
Transmission parts people will bring you in. You had mentioned that you have a staff that just does mailings of your manuals. Can anyone just buy a manual?
Yes, and you can visit our website, and they can even download them as a PDF into their own computer.
Great. Well, we'll put your website on the show notes page, and that's a great thing. What's the challenges that you see in the industry going forward? You're steering the company and you look down 5 years. What do you see?
A shortage of young people getting into the business. There was back in the day, we used to be able to pull engines and transmissions and modify them and play with them. We don't see that now. And we see a lot of young people growing up playing with computers and their phones. And they'll much rather take Uber somewhere so they can play with their phones rather than even have a car. So there's that issue. And then additionally, if technicians can get tech for free, if they can find it on YouTube or Google and they don't have to pay for it, that makes my company a challenging, because tech isn't where doesn't make a lot of money. Tech requires money to produce tech, but then people have to pay for that tech. And so with the change in the industry and the way everything is so online and so quickly available, it is a challenge to keep up with that and keep materials out there that people want and will pay for. And we've been able to do that despite the different challenges that are our way. We've been able to continue to do well.
As far as youth entering the industry, are you doing anything as a company to help vocational schools, colleges, high schools to encourage that?
Yeah, well, we work with a lot of different vocational schools. They work with our materials, and we help them have those materials at an affordable price. And so, yeah.
So you're helping the educators out there the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Hey, let's go to your passion. I heard you talk about your theology degree.
Back when I was a young man, I used to play my guitar in bars on Fridays and Saturday nights. I was a party kind of guy. And one time my sister had asked me to take this class. She lived in Florida. I was living in New Jersey. She asked me to take a class on this Bible thing. And I said, I'm not into that. I have no interest in that. And she said, well, your youngest sister is going to take this class. And I said, not without me. You know, I was concerned about all these brainwashing groups, and I think Jonestown, if I don't know, remember Jonestown.
I sure do.
And all that.
Yes, I do.
And I was just like, I'm like, you know, I don't know this organization. And my youngest, I'm the firstborn, I'm the oldest. So I have three younger sisters. And now my youngest sister is going to take this class, and I'm big brother. So I decided to take the class just to be with her, to make sure that she'd be okay. Nobody would mess with her. And, you know, I'm a research kind of person. I like to understand why. And, you know, I've often wondered why there was a million different religions and why there was a million different interpretations. And, you know, I thought, how come I can't study and figure this out for myself? And this class really got me underway. And I'm more of a scriptural study guy. I really like to do research and study and understand Greek and Hebrew, Aramaic, and really looking at the older texts and understanding Eastern culture and how that influenced writings and things like that. So I did a lot of studying in that way so that I can actually understand the Bible for myself. And of course, I've come to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Lord, and so I do talk about it with people, and one thing led to another, and I started having, like, in my home, I would share things, and then it got a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, and I had to actually legalize it because people wanted to give me money, and I never even thought about that, and using money because we were using hotel rooms and things like that, so they wanted to help out. And so I formed the South Florida Bible Fellowship, and I filed with the government, and I received a 501c3 status. And so now we have what we call a biblical learning center. We have a facility that we actually do things in. And it's, again, it's a more of a scriptural study group than it would be like a praise and worship church type service.
Yeah. And you're a minister.
Yes, I minister. I like to help people.
I'm fascinated by that. Wow, what a interesting passion. So, where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years? Still going to be with the company? Going to retire? Slow down? You're going to have other things going on?
I don't know how to slow down. I love to fish. And in July, I'm going to take a week's vacation, and a number of us guys are going to do a fly-in in Canada. So we're going to just spend time fishing. I like doing that. Peaceful. I need sometimes to recover because I'm constantly busy on the go. But I don't know how to not do things. I'll be busy with the church group that I'm involved in, or I'll be busy with ATSG, one or the other, or both. I just will not stop.
You know, back to ATSG, because you're so driven. How many new seminars do you have to write a year, or are you just, you know, doing recycling stuff from the last year or two?
Well, no. By August of each year, we start thinking about what is the seminar going to look like for the following year. So we start deciding what kind of information we need to start putting together. And now that seminar we will do at all the different cities throughout the United States. And that'll be the same thing. It's all day Saturday. We start at 9 in the morning. We get done by 3:30, 4 in the afternoon. Give everybody food for lunch. And we give them three manuals that go along with the seminar. And we do that city after city after city. But then we get hired to do specific, like I just got hired to do CVT. So then I would have to put something together specifically for that. The same thing is going to happen when I go to Bristol. The same thing for the Netherlands, and the same thing for Australia, and the same thing for Russia and Poland.
And no problem with the language barrier.
No, you know, in Europe, it's amazing. Most of them speak English.
Amazing.
And yeah. And if they don't, they have someone with them that'll translate for them. But absolutely no issues whatsoever with going and doing seminars there.
How do you get booked in Russia?
Well, now Russia's different. Russia, they have a translator there, and there's quite a few people that do speak English there, but there's a gentleman there, Slava, who owns a company out there, and he is just fantastic. He's doing a wonderful job. He's been doing this for years. I first met him about 12 years ago, and he didn't even know English. And now he speaks English, and his company has grown tremendously. And he does three seminars a year in Russia. I've only gone there one time. The problem is getting the visa. And I do so many other traveling outside of the country that I can't give up my passport for the length of time that I need to give it to the Russian consulate for them to approve a visa. And I just found out that I can get two passports to be able to do this. So we're in the process of getting that done right now.
But this guy, Slava, hired you
yes.
to be part of his training group?
Yes. Yeah.
And he met you how?
I started doing seminars for a company called Automatic Choice in Europe. I don't remember if it was in Bristol, England or Germany. See, the Automechanica show in Germany, in Frankfurt, is every other year. So they hired me to come do the Frankfurt, Germany show. And it's every other year. Well, after I did my first one, they have a company in Bristol, England. They said, we would like to have you come there on the off year. So 1 year I go to Germany, 1 year I go to Bristol. And at one of those places I had met him. And I think it was Bristol is where I met him for the first time. And then he had his eyes on us as he began.
They discovered you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they just, you know, he knew ATSD, buys our manuals and things like that.
I so enjoyed your story. Very dynamic. You know, you just see a person up there training and he's just here to teach me about CVT. And you've got all this other great stuff, you know, where you came from, where you're going. You're a minister. Give us some great words of wisdom to live by.
I think being a person of integrity and someone that's concerned about their fellow brother, if you will, it's better to do the right thing than to live with doing the wrong thing.
Excellent. Hey, thanks, Wayne. Hey, thank you, Wayne Colonna, for paying it forward and sharing your insights and wisdom as it relates to training and the transmission industry. For more on Wayne, go to the episode show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E213. I loved his story on his first car and his first transmission problem that set the tone for his entire career. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. Let me know how you enjoy the Aftermarket's premier podcast. We cover so many great subjects. So if you're interested in something, anything, drop me a line. I'll take a look at it. Email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, help us out. Share this content-rich resource with your friend. There's a lot to go around. It's easy. Email the episode link. Share my Facebook page, Twitter accounts, or LinkedIn connections. The richness grows because you help ripple the water. Thanks. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.